Today is November 26th, 2013, and we are going to just wrap up the mitzvah of pidyon peder chamor, the redemption of the firstborn donkey. As we mentioned, we're just going to summarize all the different opinions that we had as far as why it is the donkey of all the non-kosher animals. Number one, like Rashi says, the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians are compared to donkeys. Number two, the donkeys helped us out of Mitzrayim. Number three, the Medrash says that Hashem is to remember what happened in Mitzrayim, that Hashem reversed the natural order, where the natural order is that a donkey is more desirable than a seh. And as we know, the Mitzrayim are compared to donkeys. So the Rebbeinu Shlom took the Jewish people, which are smaller in number, on the surface, perhaps less desirable, usually more downtrodden and on the surface, seemingly less qualitative than the mighty multiple armies of the non-Jewish people, of the Mitzrayim rather. And the Rebbeinu Shlom reversed that order and showed us that it's quality versus quantity. And to remind us of that, we do that as well. The Rambam had said in the Mor Nevuchim that the chamor is the representative, the donkey's representative of all the animals, because it is the most essential to mankind in certain ways. Then we had from the Meshech Chachma, who told us a fascinating new perspective, which was that it's not as the Medrash says. The Medrash says that you sold Yosef for Chamisha Shkolim. Sorry, you sold Yosef for Esrim Kosef, for 20 Kosef, and now so you should redeem your firstborn. And the way he explains it is not that we are treating this as we're viewing this as a punishment, but rather this is the perspective of understanding that everything that the Rebbeinu Shlom causes and orchestrates to happen as we go down to Mitzrayim and as we're saved, it's not just the salvation itself that we appreciate, all his arrangements from beginning to end are to our benefit. As we mentioned, that is the idea of Oz Yashir, Me'oz Basi El Pari, and so on. We also had the idea that the Meshech Chochma mentioned that a Bechar, that a firstborn, is naturally, automatically Kadesh, and the same is with, you know, just by merit of being born first, the same is with the Jewish people. They have ingrained inherently, intrinsically in their genes, in our DNA, we have that intrinsic Kedusha that we cannot forget. Maharal had mentioned that the chamor, the donkey, is the most elementary or basic animal and represents all of Gashmias, all of material existence. Then we had from the Sefer Karban Elio that we're appreciating the fact that with this mitzvah, the fact that the intentions of Yishmael and Eliezer, which was that Yitzchak should in fact die by the Akedah, when he was brought up as a potential sacrifice, and instead the Rebbeinu Shlom put in its place something from the sheep, call it family, call it species, whatever you might call it. So in that sense, we celebrate that, where we take this, we take the sheep, or the sheep in this case, in the place of the chamor, in the place of the what we would call the thoughts of the people who wanted the demise of Yitzchak. Then we had the Noam HaMitzvah, who said that this falls in line very much so with the whole idea of the mitzvahs of Pesach, where we spoke about this pertaining to chametz, that the idea that one can reverse, no matter how far they've fallen, they are able to reverse very quickly, even if a person's like a chamor, which is the lowest of the low, in certain regards, one can then, in a split moment, with the proper intentions, the proper tshuva, exchange that for a life of a seh, for a life of a new life, a life of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism, and service of Hashem. And then we had Rav Hirsch, who said the beautiful idea that the three types of redemptions that the Torah speaks about, which is of humans, of kosher animals and of the donkey representing the non-kosher animals represent the three mainstays of a person's life, and that is the people themselves, their sustenance, and their rechush, which is their wealth or their material possessions. And each one of those three, one has to recognize, as Rav Hirsch says, one has to recognize that the purpose of that is for the dedication, to dedicate it towards the service of Hashem, towards the klal, towards the communal purposes, and that is what is represented in this mitzvah. We'll see a little bit more when we get to the end of Arifas Pedach Hamor, the next mitzvah, mitzvah number 23, because that's really, he summarizes, it culminates, he packages it together, and you have when you have the complete package, you could appreciate both mitzvahs in the way he's explaining it. So let's move on to page 39. We have the mitzvah of Arifas Heter Chamur. Now, the Aref is the neck. Okay, so this verb of Arifas Peter Chamur, we'll have to see. It says in the pasuk like this, V'chol Peter Chamur Tifte Beseh, as we mentioned before, all the firstborn of the donkeys should be redeemed with a sheep. V'mlai Sifte V'arafta, and if you do not redeem it V'arafta, you shall do this verb of something to its neck. We'll see in a moment. The Sefer HaChinuch says, L'arif Peter Chamur V'mlai Ratzel Lifdeise. Actually, let's skip to Rashi, the second piece there. Rashi says, "Va'araftai, arfai bekufitz." Kufitz is a knife of some sort. So you actually cut it, and we'll see in a moment why. Me'achayra, from the back of its neck, v'hargai, and you kill it.
The same word used for the iglarufa.
Yes. Who hifsid? And what's the idea? Who hifsid me'mayneshel kayan? You, this fellow who didn't want to redeem it, caused the kohen to lose money, because he would have given him the, he would have given him a sheep. Lefikach yafsid memono. Therefore, he should lose his own money. Okay. Obviously, there's things that are much deeper, but on very basic, on the surface, the idea is to kill it with a knife. Sounds very cruel. Let's see what the Mefarshim say about this.
He should have killed the, so he should have given the sheep to the Kohen. Let's say he doesn't have a donkey, so he has to get rid of the equivalent of a donkey. In other words, this guy...
No, he's only obligated to give a donkey if he has a firstborn donkey. If he doesn't have one, he's not required to do it.
He's supposed to give him the firstborn.
Well, if you have a firstborn, it's like Bechar Adam and Bechar...
So he gives it to the Kohen, the firstborn donkey, is that what
it? No, if he doesn't redeem it, then he actually kills it.
I see.
Is there an assumption for Rashi that it's preferable to give the set to the Kohen and to keep?
Absolutely. Let's see. The Chinuch says like this. Let's just move back one paragraph up. Laraif pet. The mitzvah is laraif peter chamur. Now we know it means to cut the neck of the chamur. In Mleiratzel Iftaisi, if you do not want to redeem it. Obviously, the Torah is the greatest body of sensitivity to cruelty to animals. People don't recognize that. Even Shrita, we had spoken about at length about a year or so back when we discussed the introduction to Tamei HaMitzvos. We spoke about what the Ramban says, that Shrita itself is really lending eternity for a minimal nanosecond of potential pain, if there is pain. Right, it's hard to know, it's hard to judge. We could assume that there is, just based on their reaction, but of course the Torah minimizes it and so on. But the idea, the Ramban says, is to lend eternity to the animal, and for that minimal split second of pain, if you were to ask the animal if it would be an intelligent being, enough intelligence to respond to this question, it would certainly say that the greatest degree of compassion is to allow it to last forever, as opposed to to living out the rest of its life, dying and decomposing and not having any, it would have, basically, it was born for naught. Here you provide energy to a Talmud Chacham to learn Torah, to a Jew to do mitzvot, to learn Torah, or you make a bracha, while you shecht it, and so on. So when you dig deeper, you'll see that the ways of the Torah are pleasant and sweet. There's got to be a reason why the Torah requires this. Okay, so we'll have to see about that. So says the Chinuch, Shenemar v'imlo siftev arafto, and if you do not redeem it, then you shall kill it. In Yana, the idea behind this is Shahirig Vlad HaChamer Imlai Ratzel of Dice. If you don't want to redeem the firstborn then of the donkey, then you kill it. The Gazar Hashem Yisbarach. Hashem decreed this, Shelo Yehene, but it shouldn't derive pleasure from it. Mikivin Shalei Padu, because you did not redeem it. Ba'filo Hanavela Asur Lai Ba'ano, even the carcass, which potentially could be sold for money, etc., is forbidden to derive pleasure from. In short, this is an incentive, according to the way the Chinuch is saying. The Rebbe Hashem doesn't want you to do this. To the contrary, the Rebbe Hashem does want you to redeem it. It's an incentive for you to redeem it. Now, why does the Torah have to describe, or why does the Torah have to give us a mitzvah that seems to be cruel as an incentive? There's other incentives. That you should lose it by way of killing it. Can't you think of other ways to give people a motivation to do this mitzvah? How about a greater monetary? He's anyway going to lose the money. How about levying a fine on him that's triple this amount? You know, the donkey's worth $500, give him a $1,500 fine. Why does it have to be in the form? So there's obviously a reason why the Torah is saying this. This is not just, randomly the Torah said, okay, why not? Oh, you don't do it, you're going to lose money. Okay, let's get you to lose money by way of killing it, cutting it. I mean, what's the point? So we'll have to see. So first of all, says the Ibn Ezra, a fascinating thing. The Chopeter Chamer, says the Ibn Ezra, this is the third paragraph. Shehu Tameh, Tifteh B'Seh, you shall redeem it with a sheep. Barafton, if not, you shall break its neck or cut its neck. Yesh Eimrim V'Araftai means, again, the word V'Araftai is like the word Eiref, was neck. It's a verb, and it's not very clear what this verb really means. But here it says, Yesh Eimrim Tichtaiv, al arpai kaidish. You shall write on its neck. I don't know if that means to tattoo it in or to brand it in or just to write it. That's what it means, varafta, you shall write on its neck kaidish. Obviously that's a lot more civil, but the Ibn Ezra says that's obviously incorrect. Just interesting the way he expresses his disappointment with the people who suggested this. The Eimer, because one who interprets this mitzvah so, Eimer ani shehu chamor ksheirif. He's the one who suggests this is a chamor himself, is a donkey himself, ksheirif, stubborn, stiff-necked chamor. Obviously a play on words. Okay, here's an example of a punster from hundreds of years ago. Okay. Many times in the Gemara it says, I'll tikri this, I'll this. Torah teaches things by way of, you want to know why Jews are punsters? Shivim panam la Torah, Torah teaches many things, right? Very often the Torah teaches things by nuances and similarities in words, right? So your mind is trained to look at words, not just in the immediate and direct way that you read it, but what other meaning could there be there based on similar words? So your mind already is prone to puns. Okay.
So I got confused. This person
whoever it might be, some say that this is means to write the word Kodesh on the neck, and he says that the person who says that is incorrect, and he doesn't mince words in describing what he thinks about that person.
Yeah, some of them, the first one, Ibn Ezra, will usually identify particular commentators or authors whom he's attacking also. Look into that.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I wonder if it's somebody specific or it's just a common misconception that he's trying to dismiss. I don't know. Okay. Now, what's his proof that it doesn't mean just simply to write on it Kaidesh? Holy. Kihine kosuvu. It's a pasuk. Yaref misbechaisam. And v'arfu shames egla banachal. That's your pasuk that you were referring to, Neil, right?
Yes.
So you have different sources, places where you find where cutting the neck is also part of it. Shapirish lichreis ayref, to cut the neck. So obviously here it means the same. Kasha pirashti me'atiki adas, as I interpreted for you in the name of the traditional commentators and Jewish philosophers.
Yeah, he often uses Matika that refers to Chazal.
Okay, so there you go. Okay, so Kichol Bechar Shalai Yikrav Lagabe Mizbeach. Any Bechar, any firstborn that is not brought to a higher level by way of being brought on the Mizbeach, O Lo Yifta, or is not redeemed in the case of an animal that can't be brought on the Mizbeach, such as the donkey, Chayav Misa.
Possibly a little Yipoda.
Okay. Kichol Bechar Mitzrayim, Odom Uvehema Mesu. Because all the Bechayrim, all the firstborns of Mitzrayim, amongst the men and the animals, Mesu, they died. Ki Hashem leMoltim min Hagzera sheGazar al Bechayim Mitzrayim Rak Shiyu Muchanim laVaydase. The reason why the Rebbeinu Shlom saved the Jewish firstborns, as we said before, the Ego, what were the firstborns of the Jewish people destined to do? Avayda Bechayris, yeah. What was the reason why Hashem saved them? Was for the higher purpose. And if they're not going to be used for the higher purpose, then what's the purpose of their existence? And so that's the lesson here. What we're saying here is that there is, according to this Ibn Ezra, there's a very specific reason why the Rebbeinu Shlom says, if you do not redeem it, then kill it. Because we're trying to show that there is no use. It is for naught, the life of someone who has a higher calling, who has a higher expectation, doesn't live up to their expectation. Yes? It says in the Gemara, Noyach Leil Adam Shalei Nivra, V'Achshav Shenivra, Yifashav Reisav. It really would have been better for a person not to have been born in the first place. And many in the Mefarshim say that this is not referring to a tzaddik. Someone who took the risk was born. Well, he didn't take the risk, he accepted the risk, he was given the risk. And he passed with flying colors. Somebody like that, we wouldn't use those words, Noyach Leil Adam Shalei Nivra. Better that he shouldn't have been born. To the contrary, Hashem is so thankful and appreciative of these sort of people that for them the risk was worthwhile. What the Gemara means to say is, being that there's a good chance that he won't, that'll either be a Beinoni or a Rasha, so the risk is not worthwhile. You know, I think it's Rabbi Yaakov Emden that writes. He writes, sadly, this is heart-wrenching, but he says that bad children is worse than no children at all. Moshe Rabbeinu, he said that he had a dialogue with the Rebbeinu Shalom, and he said, why are you allowing the Mitzrayim to kill all these babies? And he took the babies out, and then it turns out they became Rishayim. We don't always know why the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't bless some people with children, but it could be that the children that these people are destined to have are children that are going to be Rishayim, and it would be better that for them, they'd be far better off if the children are not born in the first place, not to invest in something like that and then have them produce constantly. I mean, to have bad children means that you have children sinning every moment and producing demerits for you all the time. Not a great thing.
And there's that thing with the Navi. Somebody was told to have children that he didn't want to have because he found that it would be a Russia, and then he thought he was going to be Chai Misa. Remember that story?
Yes. And the Rebbeinu Shlom said to him, that's not your business. Right? So...
just have to have the child. Right?
So, right. So... the bottom line is that Menashe was his son,
Menashe,
right?
That's Menashe.
Okay. The bottom line is what we're learning from this mitzvah of Petach Hamor is, if the Rebbeinu Shlom has an expectation, if Hashem has an expectation for someone to live up to some sort of standard, and they don't, then the best thing is, to the contrary, that they not be born in the first place, that their existence cease to exist. So that's a very stark and dramatic lesson that one can get, but only you give them a fine, tell them 3, 4, 5 times the amount of the value of the animal. Okay, that's it pinches, but it's not going to be as dramatic as actually putting this animal to death. And of course, as we know, a lot of the Torah's laws are there as deterrents. Not the Torah's hoping that you don't have to actually follow through with them. For instance, a lot of the punishments that the Bezdin Shalmata, that the Bezdin, the courts, the human courts, the rabbinical courts, are supposed to mete out. Obviously, Hashem is more than happy if they don't have to exercise them at all, right? Even the laws of the death penalty. Yeah, it's very clear from the Torah. What's the purpose of them? If it says, like the Mishnah says, in according to one opinion in Makos, right, that Bezdin that did this once in 70 years, is it Sanhedrin, right? Once in 70 years, a kill is called a killing Bezdin. Then what's the point of these laws? It sounds like the Lahavdil, the American judicial system, where they have the death penalty, but they never, many states, they, you know, theoretically, they have it, but it's not actually used. The idea is, hopefully, that it's a deterrent. Which means before a person embarks on engaging in this sort of activity, we tell them, this is a crime for which you're liable to have the death penalty.
I mean, he's not even getting any. What would be the logic for him not to do this, to give this, because he's not getting.
Well, it conveys the sincerity of the, as you, it would be proper for someone who engaged in this activity and it was proven in court that it was done and so on, there were witnesses and so on, that it would be proper for somebody like that, appropriate for somebody like that to be put to death. Oh, that sends a message, right? And the same is like, there are some halachas that it says in the Gemara, like, it'll never happen. And it never did happen. So what's the point? The answer is there's so much to learn. The severity of one example for the Ben Sarah Mora is the importance of educators or parents to thwart reckless or inappropriate behavior already when it's at the early stages, because it potentially could lead to things that are far greater. And if you don't thwart it now, it's going to lead to potentially life-threatening or very colossal damage. So there's so many lessons that we could learn from these sort of things. So here it seems like this is one of those mitzvahs where no one would, in their right mind, would not redeem it for a sheep, knowing that they're going to lose their donkey. I mean, just from a financial standpoint, that's pretty poor planning, right? So it's obvious that almost nobody would engage in this sort of, in this sort of trade-off. So obviously, it's there as a lesson, as a message. The message is: if you have a certain calling, if you have a certain purpose, and you don't live up to it, then your life is not worthwhile. So make sure to use every minute properly. And that's a message you can only convey through this sort of dramatic. But obviously, the Torah is not saying that it wants us to do this. And here, the Mor Nevuchim, the fourth paragraph here, he says it very clearly. He says, "Omna Marifas Petach Amar Hu Liyay Zeh Mevi Levdaisei Behechrich." This causes now that he's compelled to bring to redeem it. That's why the mitzvah of redeeming comes before arifa of killing it, because obviously the Torah doesn't want it ever to get to that point. And it is sort of forcing the person to redeem it by way of what? Well, the consequences are you're going to have a far greater loss. Who wants that? Right? And so, it's very clear, this is more of a deterrent, an encouragement to fulfill the mitzvah properly, the first mitzvah of redemption. So the Torah gives these sort of consequences, and this sends a message. Now, we again have the Karban Elio. He was we mentioned him a little further back. From the city of Izmir. Neil, where did you say Izmir was?
Turkey.
In Turkey.
Ismail.
Okay.
Smyrna, Greek.
Okay.
So he says like this, look at this. Kibalti me'harav ha'gadol. This will be your homework, okay? Kibalti me'harav ha'gadol arizal. Hear this. The fifth paragraph. Sefer Karban Eliyahu. Kibalti me'harav ha'gadol arizal. I have a tradition from the great Arizal. She'asaynei shel Bilam, the donkey of Bilam, mesa ba'arifa. It died with its neck being cut, but not just cut. Shenikra me'arif me'atzma u'mesa. Its neck was ripped off from its body, and it died. V'loy yodati tam b'davar adkan. The Arizal has no idea why. I'm not sure if it's the Arizal saying that or it's the Karban Eliyahu, but he's saying it himself.
He's saying it himself about the...
Okay.
Arizal.
Adkan. Venira, and it appears to me, Shekivan Shinase Bazeh Nes Gadol. Since through this animal, a great miracle transpired. Shedibra Ha'asain, the donkey spoke, Tziva habayre, therefore, you hear this? Because of that, says the Karban Eliyahu, the Rebbeinu Shlom commanded, dafka bebechara chamar, of all the non-kosher animals, that specifically the donkey, should be, levdaise, to redeem it, lezecher hanes shenase, in commemoration of the nes that happened with the donkey of Bilam.
Shh.
Amazing.
You like that?
Yeah.
And therefore, if you don't want to bring it forth to the Kaidesh, means to redeem it, baraftai.
Wait, is there a problem? Isn't the chamar, the petra chamar, we're talking about a male chamar?
Okay, well, it's that min, it's that min. Is that min?
That min, okay.
Okay, so therefore he says, and that's why Hashem commands us, that if we don't redeem it and commemorate that miracle, v'arafta you shall cut its neck, k'shem shemesa asen shel Bilam, do it in the same fashion that the donkey of Bilam died, shegam baze yeh zechiras hanes, because through that there will also be a reminder of that nes. In other words, we asked before, why of all things, if the Torah is trying to give us a motivation and encouragement to do the mitzvah of redemption, so it creates consequences. If one doesn't fulfill it, why did the Torah choose this way? That seems to be somewhat cruel. And the answer is because the Torah wants us to remember the initial redemption in the first place is to remember the nes of Bilam's donkey, and the consequence of not redeeming it, also there to remember the nes of Bilam's donkey. Now the reason why I say that I'm giving you homework is, number one, because we're out of time. But number two is, what in heavens is this man talking about?
What's the homework?
What's that?
I'm
telling you the homework. The homework is, what is the connection? Okay, there was a nes, there was a miracle that happened with the donkey of Bilam, and the donkey spoke, and the donkey happened to be killed in such a way where it was, the neck was cut. What does that have to do with this? First of all, what does it have to do with...
And then it was after Yitzchak Mitzrayim, after the Bechor Rosh.
Yeah, it has nothing... Why then is there a juxtaposition for this mitzvah versus... Right, we had before explanations as to why the donkey and so on, and they were all connected to Mitzrayim, right? Like the Noam HaMitzvah said, that the same lesson of the Chametz is the same lesson of the donkey. Fine. But if this is a commemoration of Bilam, what does this... First of all, why do we remember it in such a strange way? And maybe there should be a mitzvah to once a year, you know, sit down on a donkey and go riding around the, you know, and everybody talks, you know? Or you get a few good parrots and you get the parrots to train the donkey to say a few words. No? Wouldn't work. Okay, so this is your homework. Try to come up with a pshat, some idea of what this possibly could mean. Okay, we'll meet Bez Hashem on Thursday. Wishing everybody a very happy and joyous Hanukkah.